Good afternoon. Thank you so much for being here with us to learn today. It is Yud Dalet Teves, Tavshin Pei Dalet, December 26, 2023. And this shir, this vad, is dedicated to Ilui Nishmas, my parents, Zichronam Livracha. I'm between the two yard sites, Reuven ben Avraham, Zichronam Livracha, that's Avi Mori, and Imi Morasi Sarah Bas Meir Leib, Zichronam Livracha. We were in the middle of a story last week, as you might remember, and it's in the Gemara Sanhedrin, and it's explaining how Nebuchadnezzar, one of the most sinister individuals to ever live, was rewarded for four steps that he took in honor of Hashem. And as we continue, Nebuchadnezzar has not entered the story yet at this point, but he'll be here soon. There was a king of Babel named Merodach Baladan, and he wanted to inquire. He heard that a miracle had occurred in Eretz Yisrael. What was it? So, Rabbi Yochanan explained, there was a great king in Klal Yisrael named Chizkiyahu HaMelech, who was ill, and he recovered from his illness. Well, that was really the end of another sub-story. Earlier than that, there was an evil king named Ahaz, and when Ahaz died, the day was shortened. It was only 2 hours long. Now, why would Hashem cause the day to be shortened? As it's explained, the king Ahaz was a Rasha. On the day he died and the sun set 10 hours earlier than it should have, 10 hours earlier than it should have, because he was such a Rasha, the king Ahaz, that Hashem did not want there to be time for eulogies for him. So he needed a kapara. And as a result of that, being deprived of his honors at his funeral, that could be a kapara for him. So when later on, when Chizkiyahu HaMelech, who was a tzaddik, when he was ill and he recovered, HaKadosh Baruch Hu restores to the day. He kind of paid it back. And it needs explanation, but that's the basics of what the Gemara says. And as it's written, as a pasuk, it says, I'm going to bring again the shadow of the degree which has gone down in the sundial of Ahaz, 10 degrees backward. In other words, make a long story short, the day had been shortened by 10 hours when Ahaz had died so that people would not eulogize him. So in the time of Chizkiyahu, when he was sick and got better, the sun returned 10 degrees, meaning the day was lengthened and it compensated for those 10 hours that had been taken away from it when Ahaz had died. So the return of these 10 degrees, that is understood to mean that the day was prolonged by 10 hours because the light of the sun has healing power. That's connected with the recovery of the tzaddik Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda. So when the king of Babel, Merodach Baladan, inquired, he said, "What is that miracle? What's going on? How did it happen that the day is the right length again?" And they said, "Oh, because the king, Chizkiyahu, he has been ill and he's recovered." So I want you to hear the Lashon of the Gemara now, because we're now getting to the climactic point of the four steps of a Rasha for which he was rewarded. And people are saying, what does this have to do with Bitachon? The Aruch HaTzaddikim says it has everything to do with Bitachon, because people wonder, they're worried, they're anxious, they're pessimistic. What's going to be? What's going to happen? Is Hashem going to reward me? Is Hashem going to be benevolent to me? Is he going to be fair? This is telling us Hashem is fair to everybody and is very generous to everybody, because this king Nebuchadnezzar, as we're going to see, is going to take four steps and get rewarded for them. What happened in this story? So at this time, the king of Babel, and the one we're talking about who heard about the recovery of Chizkiyahu, Omar, he said, Ika Gabra Ki Hai, there's a man like Chizkiyahu. So in other words, the Merodach Baladan in Babel heard that Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda had gotten sick, had recovered with the addition of these 10 hours that Hashem, so to say, put back in the day. So he said, there's a person like this, Baloba Ina Lishadure Leshama, and I'm not going to want to send him a greeting? Again, this is the king of Babel, Merodach Baladan, saying, Kisbule. So he told his servants, write for him, Shalma Lamalka Chizkiyah, a warm greeting to the king Chizkiyah of Eretz Yisrael, of the Jews. Shalom the Karta Yerushalayim, peace and greetings to the city of Jerusalem. Shalom Le'alaka Rabbah.
and greetings to the great God. The Gemara continues, Nebuchadnezzar, Safre de Balazanha. At that time, Nebuchadnezzar was not the emperor of Babylonia. He was the scribe. He was a worker of the king of Babel, Baladan. He was his sofer. But at that moment, at that time, he wasn't there. It almost seems to be implied by the Gemara that if Nebuchadnezzar, the scribe at that time, had been there with Baladan, then he might have drafted the text of the letter because he is the scribe. But he maybe had a day off. Who knows? He just wasn't there. Gemara doesn't say why. He was absent. When he came, Nebuchadnezzar, the scribe of the king of Babel, when he arrived, Amar, he said to them, hey, how did you write the letter to the king of Yehuda, to the king of Bnei Israel, Chizkiyahu? What was the text of the letter? Amrule, so they said to Nebuchadnezzar, who was still the scribe, this is how we wrote. This is what we wrote in the letter. So Nebuchadnezzar is like, huh? Wait a minute here. I know I was absent, and I did not have the ability to dictate the text of the letter, but you guys got it all wrong. Amar Lehu, he said to them, Nebuchadnezzar said to them, again, he was the sofer, the scribe of the king of Babel, Karisule Eloka Rabba, you called God, the great God, the God of the Jews, Bechasvisule Lebesof, and you wrote him in the end? Look at the order. What's wrong with you guys? How did you write it? Peace to the king Chizkiah. Peace to the city of Yerushalayim. Peace to the great God. That order? You put God at the end? Ella. So Omar, he said to them, Ella, hochi kesubo. This is how you should write it. Shalom elakaraba. Switch the order. Leave the city of Yerushalayim in the middle as number two. But switch around the number one and three. Put God first. Put Hashem first. Shalom elakaraba. Greetings to the great God. Shalom the Karta of Jerusalem, and peace and warm greetings to the city of Jerusalem. Shalom the Malka Chizkiah. And finally, at the end, you put the human king at the end to the king Chizkiah. So Amrei Lei, the Gemara says, so they replied to Nebuchadnezzar, you really have something to say about this, don't you? Karaino de Igrasa, the one who reads the letter, Iula have a parvanka. Now, this is a Gemara in more than one place. It's an expression. The person who suggests to do something, to make a change, he should be the one to do it. The one who reads the letter should be the one to carry it out. It's a very popular expression in the Gemara. If you think the text should be different, so you go change it. We sent it already. We're finished with this. We're busy now. It's bothering you. You do something about it. So what did Nebuchadnezzar do? This is the key to the story of his reward. Because he felt that Hashem should be put first, it just didn't seem protocol to put God third. You got to put him first. Rot Basrei. He ran after him. Rashi explains, Basrei de Shliach. He ran after the messenger. There was a messenger bringing the letter to Chizkiah from the king of Babel. So Nebuchadnezzar was like, let me catch up to this guy. Kidderahit Arba Psios. Once he ran four steps, also Gabriel. The Ukme, the Malach Gabriel came and stopped him. Did he ever make it? Did he ever catch up to the Shliach? Did they ever change the text of the letter? No, he didn't make it that far. The Malach stopped him. Why? Because, as the Gemara is going to say, no matter how evil he was, but he was doing something right in this case, something that was from Yiras Shemayim of some sort, from a Russia like Nebuchadnezzar, who became the emperor, who was in charge, who engineered the destruction of the Bayis Rishon. But he's doing something wonderful. If he would have taken more than four steps, his power would be immeasurable against Bnei Israel. It would empower him. It would make him more able to hurt us because he'd be rewarded with the thing he wanted, which is more honor and more prestige. Amar Rabbi Yochanan said, Rabbi Yochanan, Amalei ba'Gavriel v'hamido. If the Malach Gavriel had not come and stopped Nebuchadnezzar, who was at that time the scribe of the king of Babel, if he wouldn't have stopped him, if Nebuchadnezzar would have kept going and changed the text of the letter and put Hashem first, for example, lo hoya takana l'sonem shal Yisrael. The enemies of Israel, that means the Bnei Israel, it's a euphemism because it's saying something that's negative, the Bnei Israel would not have had any hope or anything to think of in the future. As Rashi explains, that would mean no takana for them. What does that mean, lo yaham takana? Shohaya secharo meruba. He would have been so rewarded, our future would be even more bleak than it was. worse than having the Beis HaMikdash destroyed by him. He would have become so strong, so overwhelming as a reward for this.
He would have been empowered to destroy our remnant of Bnei Israel, Chas Shalom, or at least much more than he did. So what happens? This Gemara shows us that the Malach Gabriel stopped him so that he wouldn't have any more ability to wreak havoc in Bnei Israel and harm us.
And as the Orcha Tzedikim says, though, the four steps that he took authorized him as a reward that he was able to do as much as he did against us. So let's go back to the Orcha Tzedikim. His lashon is ke'inyan she'motzino b'Nebuchadnezzar, like we found by Nebuchadnezzar when he was just a worker in the palace of the king of Babel. He was a scribe. Avor she'pasa arba psios b'chvod hakel yisparach, and that's what the Orach Tzadikim is referring to, that Gemara. He took four steps for the honor of Hashem, Zochel the Gedula Gedola. That's the Gemara of Sanhedrin, Tzadik Vav, that we just read, Perek Chelek. He merited such greatness that he was so energized and empowered and permitted to do what he wanted to. So what does that teach us? Imagine the mitzvahs we do. You take one step, two steps, 10,000 steps to go to shul, to go to do chesed, to go to the Beis Medrash. How much reward we're going to get. It's part of bitachon. We know that Hashem loves us and is fair. Because even for a rasha, Nebuchadnezzar, he rewarded him so greatly. And if he would have done more, walked more for the sake of Hashem, he would have had more and more power. The Orach HaTzadikim continues. We find something similar with Esav. And yes, we all know the mitzvah that Esav did. Avor shenizar b'chavod aviv. Because he was careful with the honor and the respect for his father Yitzchak. Albeit for what reasons was it? Whatever it was a facade. It was an act. It was to get on the good side of his father. Whatever it was. Bottom line is, he did kibud av. Gemara says, what did he wear? Best clothes. He did it in such a respectful way. Zacha l'gedula. He merited greatness as a reward. Ba'olam hazeh. Yes, in this world. Because, as we know, everything is measure for measure. What means the world to Esav? The world is this world. So he really merited so many chieftains and nobles and aristocrats coming from him. Look in the end of Parshas Vayishlach. Hu v'zara acharav, he and his children after him. What is this all serving to prove? That we absolutely are positive that we anticipate reward from Hashem. For whatever we do, we should never think, oh, look at that. It didn't pay off. I worked so hard. People say it about children sometimes. I worked so hard and it didn't come out the way it was supposed to. What do you mean? It's the effort. It's the work that we do. We do our best. And even if we didn't do our best sometime, I could do my best next time. Hashem rewards us for all our efforts. And Esav, he had ulterior motives with Kibud Av. And he was still rewarded with such a majestic existence in this world. Actual aristocracy, true prestige and power. That's for him. He wants something superficial. When he does the mitzvah superficially, so he gets a superficial, on the surface reward, on the surface of this earth. And we do mitzvahs more profoundly for the most pure motives and the profound motives. We merit profound and pure reward in both worlds. Machain Rabin, there are so many examples. Says the Orach HaTzadikim, Ein Safek, there's no doubt. Be'yos Adam, Mamin, B'chol Zeh, B'leiv Shalem. When a person believes and understands that this is true with a full heart, if I go ahead and I activate all my emotions and invest my energy to realize this is true, Vada Yitzmach. It is definite that this person who realizes this will rejoice, will actually be absolutely ecstatic, b'chol dinei Hashem yisparach. With all of Hashem's judgments, whatever he sends my way that I can't control, I can control my reaction. I have ownership of what I do with what Hashem sends me. That's what Mitzvah, that's what Midos, that's what Yiras Shemayim is all about. It's what do I do with Hashem's package that he sends me. The person who realizes this, that Hashem is fair, generous, benevolent, that person will yismach. Listen to the Lashon, vada yismach. It's definite, it's not a maybe. If one realizes this, he will definitely be in a positive frame of mind. What a chelek we have. Ki mi lo yismach. Because who wouldn't rejoice? Kishenotni mimenu putos nechoshes. When they take from the person coins, little tiny coins of copper, then nos nimlo timurasan kikarzav. In exchange, they give him a whole talent of gold. What's the analogy? Because what we do comparatively to everything is putos nechoshes. Those are copper coins, meaning there's so much a human being can do. We're minuscule compared to Hashem. And the cosmic nature of the universe and everything that exists, we're so tiny. That's prutos nechoshes. But what does Hashem give us? Kikar zav, talent of gold. We're given so much generous, indescribable reward for whatever we do. That will cause us to be besimcha when we know that. And we saw it from, what were the examples he brought? The Rishoyim. Nebuchadnezzar, Kavachomer, what about people who are not Rishoyim? Like us, we're not Rishoyim. For sure we have these rewards. It's to make us rejoice from morning to night that we know that this is the employment that we're in. That's what the point of that paragraph was. This is my job in this world? Baruch Hashem, nobody has a better job. My Rosh Hashiva used to tell us, Rabbi Wein, he said, who could be happier than a person who gets paid to teach Torah, for example? Okay, not everybody teaches Torah full time. We're not necessarily actually getting paid for the actual teaching also, because that's not halachically necessarily allowed. We're getting paid because of Schar Batala or whatever else the reason is. We're not getting into a halachic discussion. But that's what he used to tell us. I can't be happier than this. I learn Torah. I teach Torah. This is the greatest chelik anybody could have. Hashem is so fair and benevolent to us. Doing mitzvahs, we get paid for it. Both worlds. Yeruch HaSadikim continues. Whoever believes in Hashem with a full heart, he just said that before, the expression Lev Shalem. That means we have to go ahead and activate and engage our emotions in this. So a person who puts his full heart into it, his heart and soul into Emunah, really delves into it, studies it, and trusts in Hashem with strong trust, Yovi Oso Abitachon. What will that do to the person? What happens to such a person? That trust in Hashem, that security will bring the person shelo yefached, that he will not be afraid, me'adam, from any person, midavara, from anything evil happening. Remember we started out the whole vad? Lo siro mehem. As the Rabbeinu Yonah said, that it's told to us in war by the Kohen anointed for war, Parshas Shoftim. You're not supposed to be afraid. Lo sira ayerech levavachem. Don't your hearts let them be soft. Don't fall apart. Don't melt. Don't panic. So this is what our goal is, to not be afraid. When a person is void of fear, the person is in a state of ecstasy. Lo yifached me'adam. The person won't be afraid of other people. Because much of what we have in life, our paranoia, and our depression is because we're afraid of other people. Simple and plain. We're afraid of what's the person going to say. What are they going to think about me? Did I do it right? Did I say the right thing? What we need to do is move on and have bitachon and do our best and hope for the best and have trust in Hashem. Hashem turns things around also if we make a mistake. A person who has emunah and bitachon will not serve someone who's not Hashem, because no person is Hashem. The sratos they love, to become pleasing to him. Now, what does that mean? That means that I will not violate what it says in the Torah, lo sachanifu es ta'aretz. The Gemara Sota says, talks about what's called the kat chanefim, people who flatter others. What does flattery mean? Flattery, to praise somebody, that's not the prohibition of flattery. You fulfill the ahav t'l'reicha kamocha when you praise somebody. Of course, there are limits and the correct scenarios to do it. Speak about someone's praise, that's the proper thing to do. What does it mean you can't flatter people? Flattery, as we know, it is defined in the Gemara, is that when somebody does something wrong, I say to the person, oh, it's okay, don't worry, making it sound like it's fine what they're doing. Why would anybody do that? That's the sratzo, they love, to be pleasing to the person, to smooth over the relationship. If a person has bitachon and emunah, I will not nod my head if someone tries to tell me Lashon Hara. I won't agree with Lashon Hara. I won't condone things that are wrong. I will not endorse anything that's wrong. Shouldn't I be afraid that that person won't like me if I don't endorse what he's doing? No, I have no reason to be afraid because I have bitachon in Hashem. And he will not wait for a person. He's paraphrasing a pasuk. Bnei Yisrael have this nature. I'm not going to wait and hope. Oh, I put my hope and my anticipation in the professionals, in the doctors, in the experts. No, those are very good people, perhaps. Those are good messengers of Hashem. But that's not the one I have my tikvah, my hope in. And I'm not going to wait that people will fulfill my needs, including relatives. I'm waiting for this person to be nice to me. I'm waiting for this person to grow up and mature and to be sweet to me. Lo yakabalish. No, I have nothing to wait for. I'm happy now. That's up to Hashem if I can't control that. I'm not going to be obsessed with people. This is what B'tochot is about. How do we love people? How do we fulfill that mitzvah? By lowering our expectations from people. Don't expect people to deliver. He says it over and over again. So what does that mean? That means I can hope, I can try. But I should not place, I shouldn't invest my bitachon, my energy in those relationships to the point that I'll be so sorely disappointed when they don't meet my approval and my expectations. Because in order for me to love people, I have to lighten up on the expectations from what people are going to give me. Lo yakavel le'ish. It shouldn't be my hope. I hope, I expect that the people will do this. Do you know how many people I've met in life? They live disappointed. They live disenchanted and depressed. But why? Because this relative, this sibling, this child, this parent disappointed them. This is so far away from what the Torah wants from us. I need to love these people. I need to look at the beauty in the neshama, in the good things that they do, but don't expect from them so much. Lighten up on the relationships. V'lo yaskim imahem b'davar shu keneged avodas avor yisparach. And let's have my relatives, they want to do something, or friends want to do something that's against Hashem's ratzon, we should not agree with them. Anything that's against Hashem's will. I'll tell you a story that happened to me. It comes up once in a while. People ask, you know, men shaking hands with women. So, yes, there's an opinion that a man, after the woman puts her hand out, he could stretch his hand like a dead fish. He doesn't shake it. Well, why? That's because it's covered abrios. It's very, very humiliating for someone who puts out a hand. Let's say the lady put her hand out, and if the man doesn't put his hand out, it's humiliating. So that shows already that it's not affectionate touching or contact, so it's downgraded to not be usher from the Torah, and it could be pushed away. You could say it's not prohibited because now it's a dirabanan, and it's because of human dignity, not to humiliate the person. That is a heter that not everybody agrees to. In fact, the Gedolei HaPoskim weren't so thrilled about it, although some people rely on it in some cases. So one time, I was at a gathering, and a lady put her hand out to shake my hand. She praised me and thanked me a lot for something. So I said to myself, oh, that's so wonderful. And she put her hand out to shake my hand. And then I said, that's not so wonderful. So I said to her, please, you know, don't take it personally. I don't generally shake hands with women. So please do not take it personally. And she said to me, well, I do take it personally. And it was quite awkward. What am I supposed to think about that? The Or HaTzadikim says, Lo yakav le'ish. Don't wait and hope for people to agree and be happy with me. If I do what the halacha says, Lo yaskim imahem. Don't agree with them to shake hands, let's say. But darbershu keneged avodas habor yisbrach. Because I want to be pleasing to people, because I want to polish, smooth over all my relationships with people, I can't do that at the expense of keeping mitzvos. Their matters, all their situations should not frighten the person. I'm not supposed to live in fear. Again, I once heard someone say, I live in fear. What are we afraid of? We're afraid of people not agreeing with us? That's not a reason to fear. As long as I'm doing what I'm supposed to, so then there's nothing to be afraid of. We also know there's a pasuk. It says that when a person is doing the Ratzon Hashem, so it says, "Birtzos Hashem darchi ish gam oivav yashlim ito." When Hashem is pleased with a person, Hashem will reconcile even his enemies with him. By the way, that's a pasuk that's widely mistranslated. It says, "Oivav yashlim ito," lashon like that. Hashem is the one who will intervene and will cause even the person's enemies to like him. Meaning, if we keep our vision clear, we keep the train on the tracks, do what we're supposed to do. Don't let it be that my motive is that I should win a popularity contest. That's not supposed to be the main motive. By the way, it does say in Avos, we're supposed to have Ruach HaBrios Nochemenu. Preferably, if people like me, then Hashem likes me. And it says in the Gemara, it says, "La'olam tei daita sha'adam me'orevasim abrios." We're supposed to mingle and interact with society. All these are true, but not at the expense of avodas Hashem, as the Maseilas Yesharim says. There's a balance. Of course, we're supposed to have positive and loving interpersonal relationships, but not if it compromises my avodas Hashem. If I feel that I need to have a positive relationship at the expense of avodas Hashem, that's a lack of bitachon. That's what the Aruch HaTzaddikim is saying. Should not be afraid of situations. Below hiro mimachluktam. One should not fear disputes. Don't worry that someone's going to get upset. As long as I'm doing what's right, and by the way, the Maseilas Yesharim does tell us, on the other hand, I should not practice a chumrah, something that's an extra stringency, if it causes people to ridicule me. Because if it's something I don't have to do, then if I do it in front of people who will make fun of me, then that's causing them to do an aveira. So in some cases, that rule is true. But in general, as long as I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, I'm not supposed to be afraid from people having machlokas, feeling that I'm doing something wrong if I'm doing what's right. This is part of bitachon. If a person gives a class, let's say on Hilchos Lashon Hara, Shmira Salashon, and somebody's offended by, I'm just saying what the halacha is, I'm not going to be worried that the person's going to be upset. I was once giving a Hilchos Lashon Hara class. When it was over, someone came over to me and said, you know what? You are taking all the fun out of my life by telling me that I can't say Lashon Hara. So I said to myself, I hope, I didn't say it to him, I hope you find some other form of fun, but I'm not going to be fazed by that because it says, Lo yizohir b'chvodam. A person is not supposed to be afraid of someone else's dignity or honor if that person is out of line. If learning with someone, teaching them what's correct, causes them to feel uncomfortable, I'm not supposed to feel embarrassed from that. I am just saying the word of Hashem. Granted, not in every group and every situation and in every setting is it proper to say just anything, even if it's halacha and Torah. But if I am doing what's appropriate, I'm not supposed to be afraid from this because Hashem is the one I'm afraid of. Lo yiyap elahem hasheker. One should not try to make falsehood beautiful to others. That's called flattery, to say it's okay to do this or that when it's not okay. Kamosha Amar Hanavi. And we're going to end with this beautiful pasuk today. This is all about having self-confidence and confidence in myself that I can do avodas Hashem without being one who's going to be shaken from opposition if it comes up, even though we try to avoid conflict. Yeshaya Perek Nun Pasuk Zayin. What did the Navi say? Hashem Elokim Yazor Li. Hashem, the Almighty God, He will help me. It's guaranteed. Okay, and therefore, lo nichlamti. I have not been afraid. I have not been embarrassed. I have bitachon. Okay, samti fonai kachalamish. I have placed my face like very hard rock. I am able to proudly say, I'm a Jew. I'm from. I am shomer Torah mitzvos. Va'eda kilo evosh. And I will know. Va'eda, and I have known. That I will not be embarrassed. So today we learned to keep our sights clear and straight, to do avodas Hashem, not to try to flatter and to be on the good side of people if they're going against the Ratzon Hashem, not to trust in people, and if we don't trust in them, then we can love them properly because we don't have unrealistic expectations. They're all human beings. So we can love people by realizing that people who come our way are messengers of Hashem. And if I look at it that way, I can have proper interpersonal relationships and I can constantly perfect my bitachon and emunah in Hashem. Thank you so much for joining us. Have a wonderful week.